The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he brought and thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods, laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose shall they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. This month marks the sixth year that my mother passed away. And I remember the day after coming back from the hospital when she had passed away. My sister and I kind of sat in the living room in a tiny little apartment in the Volatic Projects in Lower Manhattan. And we sat there and we looked around and we said to ourselves and to each other, we said, "We got to clean this place up." And so terror reigned through us for a moment, wondering what was in the closets and what were in the drawers and all that kinds of stuff. And so we started slowly going through some of the closets. And to our surprise, she only had just a few things, a couple of coats, maybe four dresses, you know, a couple of, you know, little hats and things like that. And so not much. Then we went into the room, the bedroom, and there was just the bed. There was the little credenza where she put her stuff, some Pampers that she had to use because she was older. But what really caught our eye was when I opened the drawer to the chest and there were thousands of pictures of all of us, pictures I have forgotten she ever took, pictures about when we were young, pictures when we did all kinds of things together as a family, things about the rest of the family that I had forgotten about. You know, they're cousins that I forgot what they looked like. And so I started looking at these pictures and I realized, wow, she really was able to save all these things because pictures and experiences and all these events that she had with the family, that was important for her. The other stuff, as she got older, she didn't really need anymore. She didn't need a lot of stuff because she didn't do a lot of things. You know, she was quite simple. And so I remember that because it was really relatively easy to get rid of all of her stuff. All we did is talk to a couple of neighbors in the building and asked, "Do you want this chair? Do you want this sofa? Do you want this credenza?" And before we knew it was all gone. And I was thinking about that when I was reading this particular gospel because I was saying, this guy's, his mindset is a little different than what I experienced with my mom. And this guy particularly is concerned about himself. Did you realize that he's talking about himself, about what he's going to do with himself and about himself? I mean, the guy has a conversation that doesn't include a spouse. It doesn't include a friend. It doesn't have a neighbor in sight. All he's concerned about is what he's going to do with this abundant crop that he had. It says that he was rich and that he had a bumper crop. Now, I think when Jesus tells this story, he's not necessarily condemning money. He's not condemning someone who is in a good position, someone who happens to have a well-to-do kind of situation. I think what he's trying to lift up to this one young man who says to Jesus, "Can you help me with my brother? Tell him to share his inheritance with me." And Jesus says to him, of course, "I'm not the kind of person who does that. But since you raised the issue, the question is, what is your relationship with things in this world?" And I think what he begins to show us through this parable is that this man has a very skewed relationship with possessions, skewed relationship with what he has in his life, because he doesn't seem to want to share it. He doesn't seem to have anybody to hand it down. He doesn't seem to have anybody to celebrate with. And indeed, the irony of the story is that once he finally breaks down his barn, we call him the barn guy. Once he breaks down his barn and he's all set to sit back, kick back, have a couple of Cuban cigars, I'm sure, and a couple of glasses of Chardonnay and ready to celebrate this wonderful bumper crop, God is going to take his life. And at that moment, the question is, what are you going to do with all this stuff? What are you going to do with all this stuff that you've accumulated just for yourself? It's going to go to waste because nobody else is going to be able to benefit from it. And so the point comes out of the story is, what is our relationship with things? Well, how do we relate with things? Are we people that want to constantly accumulate and possess and hold on to things? In today's market, in today's life, in today's way of being, all you have to do is watch TV for a few minutes or look at the internet, and you get inundated with all kinds of commercials and all kinds of advertising that really prey on our insecurities. The fact that we always feel incomplete, the fact that we always feel kind of not quite full or not quite there, they're masters. And really, I you may not know this, but when I was in college, I was thinking of becoming a psychologist, and I was really turned off when I heard that psychologists work for advertisers. And what they do is they learn how to find those spots in your personality and in the way to get you to feel as though, boy, I really want that object. I really want and I really need this object. And so what the whole environment that we live in is one in which we're preyed upon constantly so that we try to buy things. They start off by saying, you know, you don't look good, and or your hair is not that well. Maybe you have dandruff. God forbid you have dandruff. And then so they answer the question because they said, now Head and Shoulders is the one to take it away, you know, just by Head and Shoulders. And the way they do it is like so cool. The guy walks into the elevator, and there's this girl looks at him, and he looks at the girl, and the girl looks at his shoulder and sees a couple of, you know, dandruff. She goes, oh, and she just walks away, right? And then the guy goes in and starts scratching his head. He goes out, he buys Head and Shoulders, and he goes back into the same elevator, and that same girl is in. She goes, hi. I mean, it's so seductive, isn't it? I mean, just the way they do these kinds of things. And so the object of advertising, commercial, and materialism, to some degree, is to make you feel first that you're not well, that there's something missing in your life. And because you buy that product, now you're going to be okay. But the secret is that you're never fully satisfied. You never fully have enough. When is enough in our lives so that we feel content and we feel secure and we feel authenticated in our being? And so that's the question that Jesus is raising, because he's saying, you know, material and all that kind of stuff is okay, but it's not going to give you what is important in your life. And what are the things that are important in your life? I think relationships are important. Just look through the Gospels. Just read the Gospels and you'll see Jesus talking about relationships. Do you remember that little guy, Zacharias? Remember the story about Zacharias? He was a tax collector. In Spanish they call him a chaparrito. He's a little guy like this. And then he wants to see Jesus, so he climbs up a tree and he sees Jesus because he wants to see Jesus is famous, so he wants to see who he is. And Jesus looks up and he says, Zacharias, come on down. I'm going to have dinner in your house tonight. And then Jesus goes into his house, has dinner with him, and has a good conversation with him. Then Zacharias gets up and he says, you know, for all the people that I defrauded, I'm going to give twice the amount. And for the other half that I have, I'm going to give it to the poor. That was a transformation, because there I think he realized, Zachariah, that what was important in his life was a relationship that he had with Jesus or with anybody else. And so relationships are something that are pronounced and pervasive in the gospel, because there is where we find our sense of being. There is where we find our sense of belonging and of satisfaction and of groundedness. And these are the one thing that we tend to forget. Augustine wrote one time that God made two things, people to love and things to use. We got them backwards. I think we use people and we love things. And this is where we need to be corrected every so often, to be refocused, to be clear about what our goals are in our lives and why do we do what we do. Do we work just to accumulate a big bank account? Do we work just to have as many clothing as we want, that we can dream of all the colors in our closet? Do we work just because we want to have extra cash? But what is the process? What is the meaning of your work? And what is the end product of the work that you do? And this is the point that I'm raising today, that Jesus is really trying to get us to think about. What is the function and the means of your life? Is it just to produce, and is it just to consume and just to use? Where do you find your soul? Where is your treasure? Your treasure is in relationships. Relationships are the ultimate reality that we seek in our hearts. And purpose, too, comes as a second nature, because there's a purpose that comes out in the relationships, right? When you meet people, you discover a relationship and a depth in that individual that you never knew before. And you have all kinds of possible things to do with that individual, things to explore, things to experience together. These are the things that really make life worthwhile. And then the other thing is community. You have a community that you gather with and you share and you measure yourself with and you challenge by it and you challenge others to become better. These are the things that make sense, and these are the things that we begin to look forward to and really give a sense of purpose in our lives. So we get caught in this question of why we do what we do, for what reason. And Jesus is saying that God wants a relationship with you. And he says so many times, when I loved Israel, this is a beautiful reading, that first reading from Hosea. How I loved you and how I chased you, and you no longer look for me. You turn your back on me. How can I get you back? And then there's a part there when he says, I will not give you up. He says, I will not give you up, and I will not let you go. I have to remember that I am God and not man. My heart recoils within me because I know the pain of your walking away from me. This is a beautiful expression of God's tenderness and God's love, because God wants relationship with us. If the greatest thing we can give to each other is a sense of real presence, this is the same thing God asks of us. God has not put us on the earth to make puppets out of us or to create a world in his exact image because he wants to dominate. No, he wants a relationship with us, and he gets surprised and he gets disillusioned and he gets exhilarated. I was in seminary years ago, and I was asked, you know, one time I was talking about that God is not so much the God of omniscience, of omnipresence. They use all these philosophical words, which I think really kind of cast God in a different way from the biblical perspective. And they say that God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is all this, God is all that. And then I raised my hand and said, I don't think so. I think God is pretty vulnerable. And they said, what do you mean? I said, when he enters into a relationship with you, God doesn't know what you're going to do. And he said, wait a minute, God knows everything. And I said, maybe so, but God chooses not to know, because he wants to be surprised by what you do. He wants to be exhilarated by what you come up with. He wants to be engaged with your sense of being and spontaneity. He suspends his ability to know so that he can be in relationship with you as a mutual partner in that relationship. And that makes God vulnerable, because you can wound this God as much as you can love this God. And so we do it with each other. How do we relate with each other? Are we vulnerable? Are we open? Or are we so socialized into taking our positions and taking our roles in society that we react only from that place? You see, a lot of people will act out of their social positions. Yeah, I'm a teacher. I'm an economics person. I'm an engineer. Whatever it is, and people talk about that. They act that way. They share who they are from that perspective. But you never get to know them. They don't let that guard down. They don't open up. And you never see what's there. And there's a longing somehow in your meeting with that individual. But when they finally do, you see something that is really attractive. And you touch something that is holy. And you engage with something that is meaningful. And you become something in the process of that relationship. See, this is what the whole gospel is about, relationships together. And we're challenged by that because we live in a world that keeps telling us that you are what you own, that you are what you possess, that how much in the bank account matters. I don't think Jesus ever talked about a retirement plan. I don't think he had a 401k in mind when he was talking with us and sharing with us. He was talking about the immediacy of being present to another person and being able to share that with the other. That was, you know, Martin Buber is a great Jewish philosopher that you hear me talk about so many times. Speaks about the most fundamental relationship in the world is the I-thou. That is where we find out through the other individual the beauty of their existence. And in that process, find our own reality in the relationship. It heals. It affirms. It confirms. It grounds you in your sense of life. Because if you treat a person as an it, as a product, or as an end, then what you have is just a product and an end in yourself. You become what you do. You become who you relate and how you relate to people. And so Jesus is talking about this relationship with others. That is the most important thing, and especially with God. Don't leave God out. Bring God into everything, you know? And then the other thing I want to say real quick, because I feel like I can go on and on and on this sermon. You know, you ever get those, like, I can't shut up kind of thing? But this one is really interesting. I can go on with so many interesting things. But one of the things that I really like about this particular topic is that we, and now I forget the point. Isn't that stupid? It was going to go on for hours, and I forget the point. We live in a world, again, that will define us by what we produce. And the challenge of the gospel is that we have to see beyond that the person that really is there. And when you do that, you find the kingdom, you find the person, you find yourself, and you find that other individual. And hopefully this is what we'll get as a gospel message, that everyone is important, and everyone is indeed the image of God. And everyone indeed has that sense of value and purpose that we all long to share and to be part of. So Remember that you're challenged and you're under the thumb of an economic system that will prey on you. It's amazing when you think about you going. If this is a government that preys. See, I'm going to start talking again. This is a government that preys on you. When I say preys on you, I mean you have different kinds of interests, different economic interests that are trying to get you. Like one guy will try to sell you the sweetest thing to drink, and the other guy will say you can buy healthy food over here on this side, and you have all of these interests that are trying to get you to do something, but they're not promoting a real sense of health. Jesus wants you to remember that relationships with God are the most important thing. The relationships with each other is the most important thing. And hopefully you'll see that and you won't get caught up in this world of money, power, greed, and propaganda. Because there's no joy there. There's no real meaning there. There's no life there. You'll be alone there. Absolutely alone there. Amen.